Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I want you to imagine everything I tell you as if you're there yourself.
Welcome to DragonCast.
You remember any of the events that led up to your disappearance?
Whilst we're waiting for House of the Dragon Season 2, Jamie East and Chris Mandel dive into some acclaimed series just ripe for a bit of analysis.
Don't come unless you leave your front door open. You have to invite me in.
First is Britt Marling's cult classic, The OA.
I remember everything.
Hey everybody, welcome to DragonCast. Bonus episodes. Part of the rewatch of the magnificent OA. Well, not rewatch for me, but it's not a rewatch for young
Chris Mandel.
We did episodes 1 and 2 last week. Here we, let's say we just get right into the. If we've been snogging for part one, heavy petting for episodes 1 and 2. Mm. I'd say genitalia are now fully exposed for parts 3 and 4.
This is full Chris, on sex orgy.
This is so right from the off when we started talking about the OA and chose it as a rewatch. I said to you, brace yourself. It felt like sometimes like that it was never ever going to come true, but. Episode 4, we'll come back to that, but can you just tell me your initial thoughts about when you were there watching it and all of a sudden you're just like, is that a fucking tank of water behind her? And then you see a fucking octopus talking to her. What were your thoughts? Take it away.
Okay, here we go. Episode 3, I was like, this is a real low ebb after all the cool San Francisco stuff. Episode 4, better pick it up. Get to episode 4 and I'm like, of course there's a giant psychic octopus wrapping itself around her. Like, I've been to San Francisco. That place is kinky as fuck. I did not have this on my bingo card for what was going to happen in this episode. I have so many questions. Why don't I kind of walk you through... Let me just recap it from my memory.
Yeah, of course. Take it away.
So episode 3, just very, very quickly, takes place in the original dimension and the kids try and find the mirror that Buck saw Rachel in.
That's right, yeah.
And by the very, very end, they meet a psychic who they meet because French or Frenchie, whatever he's called, hooked up with a dude who's like, my mum's friend is a psychic. Absolutely fucking ridiculous chain of events.
Yeah.
Firstly, because after most hookups, you don't go, do you know any psychics? I mean, that's not what he said, but anyway. So she says that the only one that can travel is BBA. She's the only one that's capable. Anyway, then we get to episode 4 and I'm thinking, fucking hell, where's this going? So, oh my God, what's the fella called? Kingsley Benadire. Character called Kareem. So he breaks Prairie out of the institution. I loved the bit where she was like, I can't remember if I know drive.
If what, sorry?
OA was like, he gave her the keys.
I can't remember if I know how to drive.
Yeah. Do I know how to drive? Anyway. So they investigate her flat, that beautiful flat, and she's got all these tapes, one of which is the name of this club on it. And they go, and like everyone's like, "Oh, Nina, good to see you. Like, it's good to see you again." She gets strapped into this chair in front of a crowd, and this giant psychic octopus who talks to her telepathically by attaching it to her arms. And we saw the suction cups on her arms earlier in the episode.
They're like cupping, almost like Gwyneth Paltrow kind of cupping.
Yeah, yeah, like a very, very good. And the octopus says, "I'm going to kill you and you'll be dead for 37 seconds and you'll see what you need. I see what you need." And this show is just a front for me to get through to you, to get you what you need, right? Like, the show is kind of a front. Kareem cuts one of the tentacles off, kills Old Knight, I think the octopus is called. And they escape. Well, apparently, I looked this up this morning. That is a... the nickname, the other name, Rail or whatever, is another name for the Angel of Death in the Bible or something.
That's Lord Asriel from his Dark Materials as well.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So my understanding is, and my brain is scrambled like a fucking egg at the moment, the octopus is kind of the counterpart to the god that they always see when they die. This is the sort of...
Yeah, there's some connection, isn't there?
Here are some thoughts, observations, because I'm really confused.
I'm not going to be able to help you, but...
What the fuck is the... There's a psychic octopus. Is that... Is it just happens to be psychic? The people in the club don't know the octopus is psychic, right?
That's a great question. And I wish... This is where... Not that I can remember. This is where I remember watching this and all of a sudden just like going... You know when you kind of like pause it and you go, did I miss last week's? Because there must have been a Link episode where it warned us that shit was going to get a bit odd. But yeah, you went back and you had this quite, like you say, episode 3 was relatively dull, kind of set a few things up. You know, the BBA role is quite important. So, you know, it leans towards that and shows that Rachel wasn't dead, or certainly isn't dead in all of the multiverses. But we learn that Prairie is dead and that her funeral was taking place, blah, 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 blah. But in terms of how much did those people in that room know what the octopus was doing? And very little is ever explained, if anything. I think it's one of those ones where I just watched it and I was just like, okay, fucking, I'm really stupid. Maybe I missed some references. If anyone's listening that's joining us on this, let us know what your thoughts were. It didn't strike me as it being like a kinky thing.
No.
So then I was just like, well, what did they think was happening? If they didn't think that there was some kind of like puppetry, because I was almost, because... Could the audience hear his voice, or was that just inside?
No, that was just her. That was just her.
But she spoke.
Repeat, like, tell them what I'm telling you.
Yeah. So I think,
yeah,
the audience have to believe that there is a telepathic connection between, octopi and female. And
I had this theory, because, you know, like, so Nina, as in the woman who is the, like, she's not Prairie and she's like Nina in this dimension, right? Because the bus never crashed or whatever, and she's Russian. So she's like, they're stinking rich. And this club seemed to be like billionaires. Don't know, like, what do they do with their money? Like, whatever. So I figured that, it's maybe not out of the question for them to just have a giant octopus in a big tank at this club.
As a thing, yeah.
And it's like almost like a circus thing, like you can strap to it and it's like entertainment. But from what I understood with this episode, like this one time, like Prairie's done it a few times. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Nina has done it a few times because they were like, do you want a safe word? Tell us when it's too much.
Yeah.
You know, and last time was kind of intense. So she'd done it and it's just kind of entertainment. And this is where I do think it crosses over with that Japanese hentai, which is the slightly sexual, you know, it's yeah, like an anime, a manga. It's about octopuses, like fucking people. I thought it was influenced by that, but it was just a kind of show. But one time when Nina does it, OA is in her body. So like, because of OA's connection, the octopus goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're not normally in here.
Yeah.
And so it was like this kind of cross-dimension, like, fuckery, if that makes sense. That's kind of what I thought watching it.
No, that's... And you, I think you're absolutely right. It, do you know what it reminded me of? Have you watched The Prestige?
No.
The film, The Prestige.
No.
Oh, my God. Well, for a start, go and watch The Prestige if you've got quite a week on. It's Christopher Nolan's best film by a fucking country mile.
No, I haven't seen it. Yeah,
stars Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman and Michael Caine, obviously. To those that know what I'm talking about, it's a very similar thing happens where a life changing event has to happen over and over and over again for the person that's doing it. And yeah, I got that kind of like that weariness that Nina has obviously gone through this many, many, many times before. So
yeah.
And I think you're right, is that something new happened when your man or your octopus was like, something different about you this time. This
yeah.
You're not Nina. So what do we think that they were doing before? Was it like, was it just a circus trick?
I think it was,
I think maybe you are right, there's parts of there's parts of each multiverse in each other's, but not to the same extent. It's like, you know, so Nina was probably telepathic, somehow had discovered that she was telepathic with this fucking octopus and turned it into a spectacle. But
yeah,
I mean, you have to ask yourself why she bothered doing it. If she owned it or she was that rich, she almost acting like a slave to it. She didn't seem particularly keen on it. And
no,
you know, no one's when the people were talking to her, they were kind of like saying, just one more time, you know, you'll be fine. That kind of thing. It's a bit like, she doesn't sound like she's in charge here.
No, I thought that, which I thought was what's so interesting is that she's sort of treated a commodity. But am I right in thinking that like he gave her an NDE for the first time? Because in this dimension, she's not been getting around. So in this dimension, Nina's not kidnapped, so she's not been getting drowned to have an NDE. So in this one, the octopus strangled her for 37 seconds. So Nina's had an NDE. Nina's now had one. And I thought it was interesting because Homer has a similar thing where in this universe, his football career was derailed, so he went into psychology. Mm. But he will have an NDE before this season is out.
At some point. No, you're right. That's a good point.
Yeah, in terms of what the point of it is, for me, it had the element of like, you know, I feel like if I went to like a casino in Dubai, there's probably a giant octopus in a fucking tank. And it's kind of like all these rich people, like the tech bros and the finance bros, like there's just so much money that there's this like underground, like sleazy, like how can we blow money kind of.
Yeah.
And I also just notably...
It was very James Bondy, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and also I thought very Twin Peaks. Something just so surreal about all of it.
Never seen Twin Peaks.
But that was always a bit more surreal for the sake of surreal, whereas this feels... Yeah, the octopus is some kind of greater spirit that, again, like probably just doesn't exist in the universe where Prairie is, or Prairie would never have come into contact with that spirit in that way. But because of where... Nina is in San Francisco and everything, the universe kind of converges to make things happen. So that's kind of where I got with it.
Yeah, no, it's all good. There is some, is the octopus Hap? Are they all, in these kind of multiverse, have you ever watched, I think, have we spoken about Cloud Atlas before?
We haven't, but I really like that. I mean, it's a mess, that film, but it's kind of...
It's a mess. I love the book is fucking great.
I haven't read the book.
Oh, the book's so good. But the film, I really loved the messages. You know, it was a crazy, crazy film. The one where Hugh Grant plays that cannibal. I'm wondering if a similar thing applies, because actually stylistically, they're not too far away from each other.
Yeah.
In as much as like, in every multiverse, in every kind of instance of the story, all of the characters exist. It's just that they may not always be the same characters in every single instance. Is the character of Hap now the Octopus, now Old Knight, now Asriel, because he has the power to give Nina /OA/Prairie an NDE? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I see. He's almost he is the angel of death, because he can choose if you live or die.
But he also has to ask for consent. But he also asks her for consent as well before he does it. And
she has to want to do it though, right? So that's maybe where they diverge. Like, they didn't have a choice with Hap. But maybe because they didn't have a choice with Hap, they experienced them quickly because they were forced to. Whereas what Old Knight is saying is like, will you let me? And some nights maybe Nina says no, or maybe Nina doesn't understand. Whereas on this point, it was like staring death in the face, literally.
So the conversation that Asriel Old Knight has to the crowd, actually, there's no big revelation. He says, "I am Asriel, but Nina calls me Old Knight." His brothers and sisters in the sea think communicating with our kind is a waste of time, but he holds hope for our species. Okay, so that's, so the inference there is that all octopuses can do this, but don't bother because they think we're all fucking idiots, which is
we're beneath them, I think.
And then Old Knight says, "Nina has been my medium to connect to you. But tonight we cannot have the performance as usual. Tonight I have the rare opportunity to converse with the OA." So that's quite interesting. So
Cannot have the performance as usual. Yeah.
So always use Nina. Cannot have the performance as usual. So maybe the club is there because it's just like, holy shit, there's a fucking telepathic octopus that's telling us that all octopuses are telepathic, but that they just think we're all fucking useless. A bit like the aliens at the end of The Abyss.
Like,
you know, we've been watching you and you're fucking destroying the planet. Can't be bothered with you. Good luck to you.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And they...
But then says to... Sorry, Carol.
I was just going to say, octopuses are like considered supremely intelligent. And it's like a lot of people think it is like a crime that we just chop them up and fry them. When they're so clever.
But then interestingly, you know, he says, "Tonight I have the rare opportunity to converse with the OA." So this means that it's not a revelation. It's not a surprise to him that the OA is there. It's an exciting thing. It's like, guys, this is going to be a special bonus episode of the thing. Knows that the OA. So we've got confirmation there that the OA is a known entity. Around the multiverse, that Prairie wasn't making it up, that she is the OA. The OA is the original Angel. It's not just a fucking cool nickname she gave herself. And the OA is known about across the dimensions. OA doesn't want to blow her cover in public, but the Old Knight insists she repeats his word. After a moment she does, then he pressures her to tell them who you really are. Then says, I have something to show you, something that will help you solve your mystery and rescue the others, but I can only be honest with you if you're honest with them. Tell them you are an angel. So OA tells the crowd that she's an interdimensional traveller. Old Knight asks if that feels better. Up in the booth, that's where Kareem sees this. Is this what Old Knight promised to show OA? Old Knight then says, a lying ages you, and time is already not on your side in every dimension. He tells her to continue translating, so it appears to be a performance. And then it goes on saying, in the future, you don't know who you are. You forget your true nature. I want to send you there. This is really important, Chris.
Okay.
This is capital important with an I, okay. capital I. In the future, you don't know who you are. You forget your true nature. I want to send you there. So the moment you can show yourself your true face, your pure being, and reawaken to your mission. To do this, I must kill you for 37 seconds. So Old Knight knows what the OA is there for, knows what the, as he says, to reawaken you to your mission.
Which is
kind of interesting.
Which is what he's saying this to. OA or Nina?
I think he's saying that to. Saying that
is
to
he saying to is, the is OA. He wanting to do to Nina what Prairie had done to her, which is open your eyes to the possibility? Because at the moment, like OA is in inhabiting Nina, but like there seems to be a disconnect between the two things, and the killing for 37 seconds. That sounds exactly like the NDE. So my takeaway was. That OA has to do that in every dimension in order to travel. That's the reason the sense of being stuck in this one is that she hasn't had an NDE yet. And the other thing, not to move on to the other part of the episode, but the lady that Hap meets, who also seems to be a dimension hopper, sort of explains, he says, you know, do we have to do the five moves? And she's like, that's one way of doing it. That it's a fuel and those actions produce the fuel that you need. There are other ways. I thought that was very interesting. So I just wondered if that relates to what Old Knight was sort of saying in the sense that you need fuel to go into the next.
Old Knight seems to know exactly what's going on.
Yes.
Wise. Cause he's, you know, she's asking questions like he asked for consent. She's like, will I survive? And he says, well, it depends if your brother lets you. And she's like, I've got a brother. You know, we're not really sure if he means Kareem or Homer or, you know, and said, what was it? He said something. And so I'm reading a script of it here. Your brother, except she doesn't have a brother. And he says in every dimension, she sent him to protect you. And so we're just like, we don't know who she is. Is it Khatoon?
It must be.
Another version of the OA?
It must be Khatoon.
I don't think there are any real answers there. It's purpose. I think it's purpose. This whole thing is to kind of go, oh, you thought you were just watching this weird kind of like little drama about kids who could all of a sudden transport it. Now, you've taken some acid and you've walked into a Berlin nightclub. You know, it's that kind of thing.
It does have very like brainwashing. I feel very like this could happen. I'm like, yeah, this makes total sense. Yeah.
Completely plausible. Yeah.
I'm like, this does make sense. But the thing, I thought the Hap storyline was very interesting.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Elodie was her name.
Elodie, yeah. And she sort of said it's the opera. The opera thing I thought was really, I got a bit confused with that, where she said that, like, she was talking about it being fuel. I thought what she was going to say was the opera is the composition, but you need someone to produce the words, in that movements are just movements, but you have to have someone to perform them. But actually, what she did go on to say was movements are just one way of doing the thing.
Yeah.
I found that sort of intriguing.
Well, I thought the opera, I thought the way that it was shot was showing that actually, you know, it's just a juxtaposition of them watching this performance in the opera and the other people, because it cut in between Prairie being on stage performing for the crowd. So, I like the fact that, I mean, it's difficult not to think of other multiverse things that we now know, you know, like Spider-Man Into the Multiverse and all that kind of stuff, that actually the same things, like I go back to my point before, is that all the same things exist in every single multiverse. It's just that the methods or the people or the characters may be slightly different. So in this multiverse, with your octopus, you know, the moves don't really work. They can do, I suppose, but there's an easy way of doing it. It's a bit like Doc Brown coming back in Back to the Future 2 and fueling the car with trash rather than plutonium. We don't need that where I come from. We just do it this. It's so much quicker. It's that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and it's also like, you know, like if I went into another dimension and popped in to see myself making my tea, I might be like making rice in a pan, and I'd go, oh, actually in my dimension, we do have a rice cooker. And you'd be like, but it's the same thing being done. Exactly. It's just you have modified the way that you produce the result. But I mean, it's, you know, when you talked about multiverses, you know, all of the, you know, Marvel is hedging huge bets on them. DC is doing it with The Flash shortly. This is the one that I think is the most fully realized, in that, you know, I just find it, especially with the Marvel stuff now, it's like your capacity for creativity with multiverses is so dialed down. You're like, every Ant-Man looks like Paul Rudd. They've all got the same name. They've all got the same everything, because they're actually really, it's a very hard concept to communicate. And I think that OA has done such a clever job. I even think Britt looks ever so slightly different in this season. And I don't know if it's makeup. I don't know if it's some sort of contouring.
Yeah, hair is a bit longer, maybe. Yeah.
I think
know
her
what you mean.
Face just something, and I honestly couldn't put my finger on it, but she looks different and yet the same. And I think they're very clever at being like, she would be Russian. She would speak American in a Russian accent in this timeline, and that she is in this new body, moving her mouth the way she knows how to in the other dimension. And other people are going, you sound very American all of a sudden. It's just little things like that where I feel like they really understand the complexity of like what multiverses might be and dimensions. I'm just really desperate to find out where it goes.
Great.
Desperate. Like, I just have so many more questions, but
it's fucking bonk, isn't it? It's great.
Rob was actually working from the flat this morning when I was watching it, and he just was like, what in the fuck are you watching? He was like, oh, you've been speaking so fondly about this show. He said, you didn't tell me there was a psychic octopus. And I was like, I'm only just learning about the psychic octopus, thank you. This is new to me. But I think he's like, what on earth do you do for a living? Like,
exactly. It's a living. There's a really good website called metawitches.com, which I advise if anyone's like confused or need some help with it, to go and have a look. They did a really good recap and kind of dissection of it. And they made a really interesting point. So full credit to them. They said that this episode feels to them, and I can't speak to it because I've never seen it, like a complete reworking of Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the whole narrative apparently is very similar to that, with Hap as the Phantom who's come out of the shadows in this new dimension. We've got his muse, OA, the original angel, instead of the Angel of Music, being coerced onto a stage and restrained in a chair, then pulled into a basement.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there's a secret passageway to escape the Phantom's power, which we see at the end when Kareem and Nina slash Prairie going through the doorway. And the octopus in the tank replaced the boat ride. No idea what that means.
That's the thing I've never seen. That kind of makes the opera.
Pardon, you have.
I've never seen it.
No, I haven't either. But yeah, there we go. So that sounds like the kind of thing that they would do. It's kind of
I thought there was has something very mythological about it all, and you know the house, and it sort of feels like this descent into some seedy underworld. Yeah. The house is on this specific axis. It also makes me think a lot of the final season of Lost. I think it feels very similar to that, just in the philosophical elements of like.
Oh, don't I love the last season of Lost. Sorry,
I really want to rewatch Lost, but I just don't know if again, like what I'm finding with our Thrones recap podcast, if you know where it's going, the bits that are designed to cause tension, I just don't know if they would work the same.
No, I don't think they would either. I think I enjoy with Lost every now and then, I just go back and just watch a couple of episodes.
Right.
And still for me is, I think it's the finale or maybe it's the penultimate episode.
Yeah.
It's like one of the most beautiful.
It's so good.
The one where Sawyer and
Juliet.
I forget the character. Juliet.
Amazing.
By the drinks machine.
Oh yeah,
the coffee machine.
Yeah, and they remember.
There's this whole thread that runs through it whereby, and I love that. I just love it on a human level. The feeling that, and it's similar to Cloud Atlas. It's very similar to this, that your destiny will never ever escape you. That you're fated to be with one person.
Yeah,
and regardless of what life you're in or what world you're in, you will always find that person. You will always find each other.
Yeah,
and there's scenes in the last episodes of Lost where they touch each other by accident sometimes, and just kind of go, Jesus Christ.
They get those flashes, don't they?
Love it. Love it.
It's so satisfying. Because at first, I remember that flash sideways, as everyone called it at the time. No one understood it. Everyone was going, I don't understand. Is it just fan service? But when you start to realize that no one is dead in the flash sideways, that is alive in the show, you realize it's a one-way thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when I remember thinking this about halfway in when I was watching that final season, and I was like, wait, it's not a two-way, it's not a sideways, it's one is on top of the other, one is after the other, you know. Yeah. Fuck, I actually might do a season six rewatch. I think that would be quite fun.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. I mean, considering they had no idea what the fuck they were doing with it after season three, they really pulled it around, I think.
Personally. And also, when you read, you know, oral histories and stuff, they didn't know what they were doing at the start. Like,
at the start, after the pilot.
It was three different shows that they merged, basically.
Great. Right. Anyway, that's for another time.
Another time indeed, yeah.
So yeah, I loved it. I think I'm just scanning through this to see if there are any bits that they've picked up on that we wouldn't know about. I'll put the link in the show notes because this is their hard work and I'm not going to take credit for it.
Yeah.
And but they do make some interesting points about dates and they go into a lot about quantum psychotics and the kind of ancient myths of metamorphosis and stuff like that. It's really interesting.
Oh, that sounds great. Also, yeah.
Even tagging into like the meaning of the Swedish fish. Do you remember the Swedish fish?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love those. They're really good sweets. Have you ever had those?
I've never had them, no.
They're really good.
They're good, are they?
Yeah, they're sort of like, they're really chewy, like fruit gums. They're really good. But they're shop downstairs from my building, sells them, weirdly.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting. I will point out, there were the emojis. Did you see the text message emojis?
Yes.
There was, and that actually showed a giant octopus.
They had sushi as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That actually had an octopus with a glass of red wine, and there were multiple arms, maybe symbolizing multiple realities.
That is amazing. Yeah, that's a great catch. Okay, I love that. I've got a lot of reading to do.
I'll stick this link in the show notes, but I'm glad that it hasn't put you off because...
No, I love it. Love it more.
Some people would have watched that and gone, oh God, it's jumped the shark, but I'm glad.
No.
I think
all of it, though, I think they know what they're doing, and I think it doesn't feel... Yeah. like it's jumped anything because it's done with 100%. A lot of conviction. And I don't think you can say that about a lot of TV shows.
And again, which is why it makes the last episode all the more painful. Because you're just like, they had a fucking plan. And I really wanted to know what that plan was.
Wow.
Anyway, Chris.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. I'm going to go and eat some Swedish fish and stick on a hentai box set.
Yeah, I've got a date with an octopus in about 3 hours, so.
See you later, alligator.
Bye.
If you'd like to get involved in the podcast, just head over to Twitter at @DragonCast_pod or email DragonCast@daftdoris.com and leave us your Easter eggs, predictions and thoughts on the show. You can also watch this episode over on our YouTube channel. Just search for DragonCast Jamie East. Any support, whether it's a follow, a share, a mention to your friend on the bus or a tattoo on your backside is very much appreciated. DragonCast is hosted by me, Jamie East, along with Chris Mandel and is a Daft Doris production. Drakaris.